And he was a Minnesota North Star general manager. Okay.
Bob Clark.
All right. Next one. We're going to go to the collegiate high school category. You got one right.
Oh, no.
Okay. Name four of the five teams that former Hornet Paul Ranheim was a member of in his 15-year storied NHL career.
Hartford.
One.
Calgary.
Two.
Philadelphia.
Three.
Carolina?
Oh, yeah, because that's part of the Hartford organization.
Correct.
Can you get extra credit? Fifth?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Phoenix.
Phoenix is what?
Yeah.
That was on the tip of my tongue.
He was a member of the 1,000-game club. Ranheim amassed 1,013 games and 360 points in his career. He was a member of the Wisconsin Badgers, an All-American, and Hobey Baker Award finalist. He won the state title in 1984 for the Edina Hornets, and he is currently coaching on Lee Smith's staff.
And are you guys Minnesota radio or not?
Yeah, we're right here, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. We're part of the On the Ice radio show. We do this every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. But because you're here, we get an extra hour. So then now you're going to win these tickets because Barty's going to get this question. Final question, you can get to the locker room.
Pressure's on.
This former Edina bruising forward won a Stanley Cup with the Montreal Canadiens.
Dave Mailey.
Oh, boom. You just crushed it. Didn't even get the question out. Sir, you are the lucky winner. Congratulations.
I'm glad you got those.
Yeah.
Max, good luck to you. Hope
Thank
your team
you.
Is your team playing well?
Yep.
You having fun?
Sure are. Yep.
Awesome. Go get them. Have fun. Good
Thank
luck to you.
Thank you for letting me on.
You bet, Max. We'll have you back.
Good luck to you.
You're the man.
See ya.
See ya. That, my friends, is what it's all about. We are going to do the same thing, Bart. You got to stick around with us later on. And the questions might get a little tougher. So that's the WCHA Final Five. Four tickets to Max. We also have a Jonas Brodin. Should I pull this thing out?
Yeah.
Before I take down the display here, Dave Jensen's going to crush me. We have a Minnesota Wild Signature Series autographed Jonas Brodin limited edition stick that's going to be available here shortly.
Impossible.
Within the next hour.
Trophy winner.
Yep. More trivia, too.
Okay.
This is a lot of pressure. So, and we have T-shirts to give away.
Boy, you hold that like a goalie, Pete.
That's the only way to do that.
That's
high school hockey, Bart Archer. Obviously, you and I came off a game the other night that featured the Eden Prairie Eagles and the Minnetonka Skippers. And I think the thing that we saw was such a very solid effort from Eden Prairie. And beyond that, a coaching staff that was incredibly motivated.
Yeah,
and happy.
Well, to go into Pagel Arena, which is a very difficult place to play, this year it's a little bit more friendly, but to go in and actually play that three-zone, two-direction game and really took over the game from the beginning. Minnetonka was playing catch-up all night, and that's not really their forte, but Eden Prairie looked very, very strong, and they're playing very well at the right time of the year.
And to quote Paul Ranheim, who was one of the trivia question guys there, to quote him, you know, he came up, he said, "Hey, Wagsy, what'd you think?" Suffocating.
Yeah.
He liked the playoff style of hockey. And he definitely, without question, was very pleased with the way the team played in all three zones. They only allowed five or six shots through two periods. And in the Section 6 AA, I think that's a team, Bart, that is, and we talked about this in the broadcast, I think they have differentiated themselves as the top seed.
Yeah, in fact, I think they have, and that's always been perennially a pretty strong section. But Pete, going into this part of the season, as a coach, you want your team to be able to master their own zone. You want to be able to be positionally sound. You want to protect the middle of the ice, give your goaltender sight lines, but you also want an efficient zone exit. And that's what Eden Prairie did against Minnetonka. And Minnetonka's got some pretty good skaters, so they had good pressure on the forecheck. But what Eden Prairie was able to do is get some speed through the neutral zone and really pressure the Minnetonka defense, and they did that all night long. And as I said, once they got an early lead, Minnetonka playing catch-up is not really what Coach Brian Yurick wanted.
What I like about their speed through the neutral zone, Bart, isn't as much that they continue that tempo when they hit the blue line. When they hit the blue line, they have pacing. They stop, they drag people back, they get the defensemen who are coming at a certain pace to change up their gap by accelerating quickly through, and they keep things mixed up. And I think that's a really important aspect. You don't see a lot of that at the youth levels and at the high school hockey levels, because I think we go to these camps and clinics and all we ever hear about is hustle, 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 get there. And instead, with this Eden Prairie team, they're doing a more of a thoughtful approach to their zone entry, and that's been giving teams trouble.
Well, work smarter, not harder. The effort is indeed there, but one thing Eden Prairie has done pretty well of late is they make you protect the whole ice. They aren't a right-handed squad where they just their zone entry is on the right side. They vary it up, so they really make you play an honest brand of defense, and they're very good at controlling the puck in traffic, so even if you get a body on them, they can be very elusive in that respect. So a very difficult team to defend against.
There is a monster game on the schedule today, which features St. Thomas Academy and Hill Murray. The interesting thing is this would have been for sole possession of the Metro East title, but it's not anymore because, you've got the Matamidi Zephyrs that are breathing down their throats. I mean, they've got a couple of losses, but another team here will have two losses, and anything can happen here in the last week. So nothing's guaranteed between those two teams. But, Bart, the fact of the matter is St. Thomas Academy's played some very good hockey, but Hill Murray, when it comes to this time of the year, Bill Lechner always has his teams prepared.
Well, absolutely. I think he's one of the finest coaches at the high school level, no question about it. And you look at his history, and he always seems to get the most out of his talent. Now, they've lost a couple people over the years, but they have some players that they can plug in. But Coach Lechner's style is play as a team, and the better they do that, the more chance that they have to win. But obviously, with the Zephyrs in the mix, now the Cadets and Hill Murray, that's really kind of a tough conference in the Metro East.
It really is a tough conference in the Metro East, and now, we saw Prior Lake play against Lakeville North on Thursday night as well. That rounded out to be a 4-1 win for Lakeville North. They pulled that one away, and now they increase their record to 22-0 as they close out their final three games of the season. They've been unbeaten. They've turned aside everything. That Prior Lake team is pretty solid hockey club. They're a 14-win team. They've got their sights on the Section 2AA title and could be the fly in the ointment for the Edina Hornets. The one thing, though, Bart, I will say, and I heard this from a rival 2AA coach who said to me, really, the teams want to get to Edina before you get to Mariucci.
Oh, sure. Well, the big guy service to a skating team like Edina isn't conducive to success. But I have Prior Lake really battling with Edina in that game down at the Mariucci. So Prior Lake is certainly a formidable foe.
It definitely is looking that way. Burnsville has been hit and miss. They can be very good, and then they can give a couple games or what this happened. And then the next step is you have the Bloomington Jefferson Jaguars that have talent. They're like many of the other teams that can be bunched from numbers teams 8 through 25 in the state where they're all very similar. But I'm looking for watching the Lakers be in their first section final, I think, in school history against the Edina Hornets at Mariucci Arena, which should be a good one.
Yeah, and I think Coach Joe Pankratz has really done a good job of building that team. And it starts at the youth level, and now they're starting to kind of reap some of the benefits, but it's the next level of the progression. They had a good year last year. Now it's time to build on that. Are they ready for the state tournament? I don't think so at this point, but good things to come. But it's just a natural step in the progression.
Well, I see a Prior Lake hat out here right now. The depth of their youth program is very good. And it's like you use the term progression.
Yes.
It's been a steady progression for them. It hasn't been a get it all at once. Here's one real special age group, and look at these guys, and then you go away. Instead, I think it's been from a ground up perspective, and Joe Pankratz has been very active in that as a person that's involved with the program. I know all the work he does in the summer.
Absolutely. And if you look at the Edina program, they build it from the youth programs up. Players come back and coach at that level, and that's what Coach Pankratz has done. He's brought some players in that are very good coaches at all different levels, and they can teach a system, and they can nurture them as they go along, and they're going to reap the benefits from it. But Prior Lake is certainly a viable player on the landscape of high school hockey.
Other things to take note of, we've touched on the Section 6, the Section 7AA. That's an interesting situation. Elk River, I was going through their numbers. They've beaten a lot of the teams they're expected to beat, and that's what can elevate you to be an upper-level team. But they've been only so-so against the top teams. And they had that 1-1 tie with Duluth East. Really, what does it mean in the big scheme of things, Bart? Probably not a lot, other than the fact that given an important game, which that was for section seedings and how it plays out and who's home and who's not home and, who's hosting games, Duluth East made a statement, regardless of their record, Mike Randolph's teams are always playoff teams.
Well, and that's a very tough section to come out of. Obviously, Cloquet's in that. Grand Rapids is in it. St. Michael Albertville's in it as well.
They've got a gaudy record.
Yeah, indeed they do. In fact, I think they're 17-4 at this point, so they have to be certainly taken into account. But I think that when you talk with Mike Randolph, he's been there before. He knows how to condition the kids to get them ready. When they get to the down to the X, if they get there this year, they don't have the stars in their eyes. They know what to expect because their coach has been there before. But Duluth East is always a player in Section 7, and I don't look for that to be any different this year.
On paper, it looks as though it's Elk River's to lose. But that section always gets a little bit different and squirrely. And it always seems to be that it's typically Grand Rapids and Duluth East at Amsoil Arena, or formerly the Deck. And then when you rewind the tape, you know, we've put in a Hermantown here and there, and we've put in, or not Hermantown, a Kokaskia, Carlton, or Andover have shown up there as well. Wow, that was the quickest 15 minutes in high school hockey. You ready to hang out a little longer, Bart Archer?
I'm with you, Pete, as long as you need me.
We're going to have to wait for another transition game when we give something away for more trivia. You ready?
I'm ready.
All
ready,
right,
as
Bart,
I'll ever be.
Great job. Great work, my friend. More coming up from Braemar Arena at the 30th annual Bob O'Connor Tournament. We have some really cool historical society stuff coming up. Bruce Carlson, former Hornet, Minnesota Golden Gopher, and, of course, Edina Hockey President coming up right after this. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Don't forget, One and Done coming up at 11 o'clock. The ice, another. We just keep along. I'm very proud of our musical selections, Mike Compton.
I like it. I like your taste in music, sir.
Turn it down out here a little bit. Oh, I guess we're blowing the people away. Apparently, they can't hear the people at the concession stand. So I'll start to whisper.
Yeah, okay. Is that what happens in a hockey rink?
I guess so. Bruce Carlson joins us here on the ice. We'd like to mention that this segment is presented by Nature's Fury Drink. It's an incredible product. Check it out. It's all health beverage, and proud to have them on our state high school hockey tournament coverage, where we'll be going wall to wall. Bruce Carlson joins us, former Edina hockey player, state champion, University of Minnesota Golden Gopher, national champion, and also president of the Edina Hockey Association. In fact, sir, you were, I call it the glory days, when I was lucky enough to be coaching in this program, which was so much fun. Your leadership in Edina hockey has been amazing, and one of the things that you're working on, initiatives, is in the Edina Historical Society, is putting together a history, and think about the rich tradition of Edina hockey, an exhibit that would be coming out in the next year.
Yes, I was the president of the Hockey Association in 2000, and not currently, but I am on the Edina Historical Society, and we are really excited about trying to capture and write and display and preserve the rich tradition of Edina hockey. And we're looking to have an exhibit at Arneson Acres, where the History Museum is in Edina, this fall. Kickoff this fall.
Coming up?
Yeah, this fall.
So 2015. I saw 2015. You keep thinking it's 14 still. I think you have a little month padding there. But really, what's great and unique about this is, I think historically, you know, Jim Hoy, of course, is working with you. He's a great historical author. He's written so many great pieces about hockey and various aspects of it in the history for this state. But when you can't deny 12 state championships, nobody has as many. And the youth heritage and the things that have happened here and how kids have drawn to the game, it's an important factor to Minnesota hockey, and the history of it is so compelling. Yourself and Skip Thomas got together, a former teammate of yours and still friend, obviously, and you guys have been kind of putting this together. Can you take us through how you came up with this idea of wanting to do this and what your steps have been in doing so?
Yeah. Skip got me on the Historical Society, I think primarily because of my basement. It tends to look like a museum. And as my wife so often says, what are we going to do with all this stuff? And so it seems like a lot of times the kids today aren't all that interested in the historical stuff. They just want to move on and forward. And we have a 65-year-old history here in Edina, and we have some of the founders still alive, and we want to capture that. And this isn't too dissimilar than any other community. And in fact, we feel that this will have an attraction to a whole broad scope of communities, because they're all doing the same thing. They got history with volunteers. the youth program, the park board, and what they've done. We've got the high school, we got the girls' hockey, and what that's done. We have a tremendous outdoor rink system here. And each community has these stories, and we want to capture and preserve it and perhaps be a template for other communities. But we'd like to think that others will be interested in seeing this exhibit as well.
I think it's wonderful, and it's a key component to our youth and to how we are as communities, what we draw around, what we do. I mean, and I think that's why you say there's still founders that are around. There is a great picture in an article you sent me regarding this topic, and it was of the entire association. You know, it's kind of vogue these days to take the association-wide picture on the ice from a high angle. There was one done in 1963 at Arden Park, and in 1950s, that was reported that was the only rink really in Edina at the time, an outdoor rink. Were you?
I believe I was. There was a couple back then in the early 60s, and I was in one of those, and it was an impressive number of people.
It was huge.
Right.
And so I'm looking at 1963, and this game started in Edina, what, 50?
1950, the first high school team.
50.
And the Hockey Association started in about 54, 55.
Okay, so a few years later. And as it rolls through, within 10 years, 9 years, it looked like hundreds of kids playing with all sorts of equipment. You know, some had helmets, some didn't. There wasn't really a lot of equipment regulation. It was batting the puck around on the ice and getting out there. Talk about how that's evolved from there to even when you were playing in high school, the organizational side of things.
Right. Well, the interesting thing is that throughout all the years that we've had tremendous volunteers, as again every community does, and it just doesn't happen without those leaders. And so those young kids become young adults, and then they have kids, and they also have the passion for the sport. Hockey's got such a tremendous level of passion, and then when the parents get involved, they want to expose it to their kids. And so it feeds off of itself, and we want to try to show that progression relative to the volunteers, but also even the equipment. You know, I used to.
That's the fascinating part.
We have pictures, of course. You know, I had shoestrings tied around my shin guards with blue jeans and choppers, and a leather helmet that wouldn't protect, you know, a wrestler today.
It's amazing. You know, when you look at that, there was one picture. On that picture, I chuckled because there was a referee. You know which one I'm talking about? On the front, he looked like he was probably 18, 19, looking very intense. I said, wow, look at this guy. What is he doing right now?
Well, I remember.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's great stuff to look at. There's all sorts of little stories you can see in these images.
Right. The referees, for example, in our youth days, the referees used to be the high school players.
I remember there you go.
Bruce McIntosh, a great Edina U of M player, played also on the Olympics, the only Edina guy to do so. And his father was a founder, one of the founders, and the first two president for the first 2 years of the Edina Hockey Association, Stu McIntosh. So this is the kind of history that we want to do a timeline. We also want to tie it into Braemar Arena right here. When people come in here, we want them to see the rich tradition. We'll have a permanent display here. We're going to integrate the Braemar Arena's history and as well as the Hockey Association.
It's obviously beyond high school.
Right.
You speak very clearly in your pieces and our discussions about this is the entire package. This is youth up to high school Edina hockey.
It's almost a de-emphasis to the high school.
Correct. Yeah,
those are 12 teams that won those championships and many others and many other great players. And we have D1 players on the wall already, and we have pro players. That's not what this is about. This is about community, and this is about volunteerism, and about perpetuating that and trying to just capture that and preserve that history.
And the hope here is that this template can be used in other cities and other sports to preserve traditions of what we all know.
I like to think so. You and I chatted a little bit about that earlier. I think that we're going to try to organize it so that it's impressive, but it's also a dynamic so that it can grow and be a template for other communities and other sports. Because every community, every sport has their history. And so we're real excited about this.
How can people learn more about this?
Well, First of all, you can go onto the Edina Historical Society website, and all the information is there. We are looking for artifacts. We're looking for pitchers. We're looking for equipment, skates, sticks, helmets, jerseys, gloves, pads from every decade. We want it from every decade. People can also contact me at Bruce A. Carlson, S-O-N, at Outlook.com. That's Bruce A. Carlson at Outlook.com.
Excellent.
Or the Edina Historical Society website.
Okay, great. And then this, of course, will be podcasted, so we can send people back to this so they can hear more about what's happening. Steve Vellner, come on in. I want to bring him in here for a second. Bruce, I want to thank you so much for reaching out to me. We had a great discussion yesterday, and I'm looking forward to doing anything I can to help further forward this setup and cause, and I'm excited about it. Thank you very much. Bruce Carlson, he is with the Edina Historical Society, I guess I can say that specifically, as well as many other things, including the former Edina Hockey Association president in 2000. He also went on to the University of Minnesota from his playing days at Edina, state champion there, state national champion at the University of Minnesota. Let's bring another state champion in, Steve Vellner.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm good, you?
Good.
Bob O'Connor, this is obviously the Bob O'Connor tournament, the 30th annual, and we have 64 teams participating here at the Squirt C, Squirt B, Pee-wee C, Pee-wee B2, Bantam C, Bantam B2 levels. You played for Coach O'Connor, and you also coached with Coach O'Connor. Gave some great heartfelt comments on a story that was written on the EdinaTourney.com website. People can check that out. But wanted to bring you on to talk about, you know, you put names on tournaments, right? What is that? You know, who really knows? So could you explain to our listeners why a guy like Bob O'Connor's name would be on this tournament?
Well, Bob's whole life was about hockey and is about hockey, and Bob cared first and foremost about the development of the program throughout. So what's so great and what embodies this entire tournament is you've got all levels, and that's what Bob cared about. He put his life and passion, everything he had, into this game, and he would love to have kids develop and grow. And I can tell you, when I first started coaching, one of the things that Bob prided himself on is that every year he would say, Steven, there's going to be a Bantam B player that's going to shine here. And pretty much every single year, somebody who didn't think that they were maybe going to have a shot at the varsity program, Bob would see something in that kid and he'd take him for the JV. And eventually, some of those kids really went on and even played Division I hockey.
He loved that, didn't he? I mean, you hear so much. You've got kids and you're coaching back again in the program now on your way up. Craig Johnson was on here a little bit earlier, and you're coaching with him. And the word development is bounced around. And, you know, what does it mean? I mean, it means a lot of things to different things to people. But I think when you want to define development and how it's instituted and how it was implemented by Bob, that was what it was. Do you know where I'm going with this? And if you could explain from your perspective, why is he so good at that?
Well, Bob took a lot of time studying and preparing himself to be better at what he did. He actually went over to Russia and looked at what the Russians were doing as well when he was involved with USA Hockey even before then. And skating at the most basic level is about skating, your edges, and your stick work, and having your head up. And that's what Bob emphasized over and over and over again. He talked about getting on your inside edge, your outside edge, where your body position was, and it was always an emphasis. And if your head wasn't up, coach would stop the practice. He'd force the kids to pay attention to what they were doing. And again, at the most basic level, that game is all about skating and puck handling.
You know what I always said he was so good at was his eye contact. Mm-hmm. Was legit. And he had this sort of look where if he'd stop, he wouldn't let up on his topic until he knew he had you. He was very patient in communication. Even though his message might have been straightforward, he never gave up until you know. And that was always a feeling I got from him.
Yeah, you know, you meet certain people in life that have an ability to do things with their eyes and their facial expression, and Bob knew exactly how to do that.
Exactly. Communicator.
Yeah, there was no doubt, and there was a certain intensity with those eyes that if you weren't really paying attention, he'd stare you down, not in a negative way, but he's saying, hey, you need to own up and make this.
Was this a great saying, though? Steven, three blades on the ice, right?
That's
something
right.
Like that?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Steve, thanks for joining us here. Wanted to take the time to really champion what this tournament is and about, and Bob O'Connor, and you've got some of the great intel on him as a coach and as a a co-coach. So I appreciate it. Steve Elner, thank you very much. Take care. When we come back, Bart Archer joins. He's going to be under the gun for some more trivia. We're going to be giving away a couple of four more tickets to the WCHA Final Five as well. We're going to have the Jonas Brodin Autograph Edition Series Stick. Dave Druck is here from Northland Hockey Group. He's going to join as well. All coming up from Braemar Arena. Don't forget, One and Done coming up at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. There's a term in radio, there's just a general term called you snooze, you lose, and Bart Archer was supposed to be here for this segment, and I don't know where he is. He's watching a game. He's probably buried spinning some yarns, so we bring on a guest with a little more interest.
Dave of course.
Druck, Northland Hockey Group. By the way, this segment presented by the Northland Hockey Group. Check it out at northlandhockeygroup.com. You've got some things that are coming up here. I'm seeing some jerseys that you brought in.
Yes, we brought some Northland Hockey Group jerseys. A couple of things, Pete, is the last time we were interviewed, I was in the back of a truck.
Yep,
we did it.
There you are, Bart Archer.
Here, Bart, get on here, Bart. I'll come back in a little bit.
No. We've already opened the segment. We'll take you at 10:45. You can hang out, too.
We can hang out. I was going to say, the last time I was interviewed, I was in the back of a truck with you, and it was kind of like what they were doing probably at the radio station up in Bagley, Minnesota. Their sports station probably was in the back of a truck as well.
A little Faustin action there, maybe, or however you want to look at it that way. So, yeah, no question.
Two quick things before we get going. I know you were talking about Section 7AA earlier. From Cambridge, Minnesota, which is always towards the bottom of Section 7AA.
The Blue Jackets.
But they just won the Rusty Blades Championship versus the Princeton Tigers this last week, 6-5 in overtime. That's a big rival. People think they're, you know, you got the Edina Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, big rivalry, and Hill Murray, White Bear Lake. But the Cambridge-Princeton rival, 1,000 people every year to watch the games. It's a big rival. Congratulations to my alma mater, the Blue Jackets.
Very important comment to that. I think it's important for people to note that in high school sports, just because you're a big school doesn't mean you're the only ones with rivals. And I think it's really important that those are going on every night across the state. And there are kids that are busting it for their communities, regardless of where they are. And those games are terrific to be a part of. I learned that working in Redwood Falls, Minnesota. And part of our previous, small town, west southwestern Minnesota, you hear about Laverne and their rivalry with Redwood Falls in football. And you're like, what? And you go to these games, and it was intense. It was incredible. It was great. It was highly contested. So,
I also worked for Totino Grace High School, and they did win the Northwest Suburban Western. I'm the public address announcer, and I do the music for the Eagles with Mark Lohr, 500 win coach in the state, one of the winningest coaches in state history. I believe he's in the top five.
Great baseball coach too.
Mark's just a great guy, and Totino Grace has been great to me the last 12 years working for him.
How good is Coach Ferguson? I mean, the real deal.
For football.
Yeah, I mean, he is the real deal.
Yeah, correct. Unbelievable. And Jay Willie Anderson, another Cambridge grad, is their offensive line coach. And, boy, he really moved the ball well in that championship game. And
they deserve to win.
You can't, when you have a team get 5 fourth downs against you in the championship game, more power to them. But Totino did all they could to make it a game, and it was an exciting game. But Totino Grace will do something that I've never seen before. If they do lose to Champlain Park tonight, they have a chance to win a conference without winning a non-conference game. They're going to be 0-whatever in the non-conference, but their non-conference schedule has been against St. Thomas, Minnetonka, Blaine, the other Northwest Suburban Conference. They play East Grand Forks, Hermantown, Thief River Falls. It's not like they played the little sisters
of
the
week. No, they weren't messing around at all. So let's talk about Northland Hockey Group here. Now, you got some things coming up. This is a great place for kids to play hockey in the spring, summer, and fall, correct?
Correct.
I'm looking at some jerseys that are quite impressive here. The Fighting Loons is one of these teams.
That's a team out of Bemidji, Minnesota, or the northern Minnesota, the Fighting Loons.
So the Fighting Loons are housed in Bemidji.
That's our founding team. That's the first AAA team that we ran. Then we come up with a team out of Grand Forks.
It has a nice one.
It's called the Red River Pike, and it has actually a pike, a wraparound fish wrapping around the whole jersey.
That's very impressive.
That's kind of a green, yellow tone type thing. This is a cool J.
Here's one specific to the Iron Range. With the Iron Range Blast, with the gentleman's ripping a stick through some ore.
And he's got the helmet with miner's hat. Thank you very much.
And this one here brings you back to the old days. This is our Twin Cities Vulcans.
Oh, yes.
Oh, how about that?
They resurrected the Vulcans.
I like that.
Very nice.
And
some parents worry about that.
Kids love it. Parents absolutely love the logo. We have a big devil head on the front.
Well, you never know. The devil, you know.
Sensitive society.
Oh, so talk to us about Northland Hockey Group, what it is and what differentiates it.
Here, I'll actually show you this. I'll bring you this here. I know we're on radio, but it kind of gives you an idea where we're located in the Midwest. Is once again, we started about 6 years ago in Bemidji, Thief River Falls. We did a team that you have the jersey for called the Fighting Loons. It gave boys up there an opportunity to play some summer hockey that they did not have a chance to do previously. And a few boys in that area would travel to Duluth or to Fargo, but now we give them a regionally based team. And one thing led to another. We had so many kids from Duluth traveling to Bemidji. Mm-hmm. We ended up running a team called the Great Lakes Skulls in Duluth. We ended up moving down. We knew the arena manager down in Cassins. We ran a team called the Ice Bucks in southern Minnesota. Then in southern Minnesota, we had so many players from Sioux Falls, which moved us to the Sodak Solar Bears with the Orlando Solar Bears jersey logo,
sure,
pretty much. And one thing led to another. Now we're in the Twin Cities, and if you look at the map here, we're at 21 different locations in the Midwest. This year we're going to have like 5 teams from Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wow.
And there's going to be a bunch of boys from Kearney on those squads.
So do you bring these teams to your own tournaments then? Is that how you do it?
Pretty much, yes. We run about 6 tournaments now. We run a tournament called the Opener in Sioux Falls. That'll be the last week of March. So if you have a boy, if you're a AAA coach out there looking to go somewhere, we do have a tournament in Sioux Falls the last week of March. We have a tournament.
Do you bring in other teams then too?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, our tournaments are not just Northland Hockey teams. We have probably about 50% Northland Hockey group teams and 50% outside teams.
So you go
teams.
The 40-team tournament type thing?
Pretty much, yeah. We try to hit, if you look at how many rinks we have, times it by about 9-10 teams per rink. That's how many teams in the tournament. But we have a tournament in Sioux Falls. After Easter, we have a tournament at the Super Rink, the finest facility in the world. Besides, maybe Braemar might be right up there, too, I guess.
Well played.
You can ask those here, and they would probably say, yeah.
But so we do a tournament at the Super Rink. Then we do a tournament at the National Hockey Center in St. Cloud. Gorgeous facility up there, the Herb Brooks Arena. After, I don't know if you've been there since the remodeling, but it's absolutely gorgeous. And then we do another tournament in June at the Super Rink. Then we do a tournament in the Northeast Metro. We do it at the New Vadna Sports Center. We do it at the Stillwater Arena. I know you broadcast St. Croix Valley Rec Center, great facility. We also do it at Beelenburg and Woodbury. So we do some fine facilities in the east side for our final tournament in August.
What type of players are we talking about? I mean, AAA is kind of a term these days. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't really mean... I mean, it could be 5A to some, or so what type of player are you attracting?
It has changed, and we talked about that in the back of the van.
Absolutely.
We pretty much cater to the boys that don't make, like, the Blades. We still talk about the elite kids in the state. The elite boys play for the Blades, Machine, pretty much those type teams. And then, but what happens to all those players, they actually get better, and everybody else on the team doesn't improve. Mm-hmm. So programs like ourselves, and there's other programs out there, some in our groups, the Edge program comes to a lot of our tournaments. Hometown Hockey out of Andover has a lot of Andover Coon Rapids boys. They come to a lot of our tournaments. Ice Clams from southern Minnesota, they come to a lot of our tournaments. Those boys and girls have a chance to improve and make themselves better compared to the top tier. So instead of widening the gap between top and bottom, it narrows.
Right, everybody can take a step forward.
And it's people at first, when our program and other programs started to do that, they're thinking, it's anybody can play hockey. I think the goal is to have everybody play hockey in the off season. We just don't want to cater to the top three players here at Edina's, A Peewees, A Squirts, A Bantams. We want to see the top B players play as well. And that's only going to make them better at the tryouts in the winter. And then these guys are competing for 8 spots. And you will not believe how many times we hear from parents in September, October when tryouts come. Boy, my boy made the A team this year. Phenomenal. I mean, you play on this off-season hockey really gave him a boost. As we talked about also before, we aren't as in-depth to hundreds of practices in the summer. I'm not going to cut up any program that does it. That's great. But with our logistics, so we have a team in Des Moines where kids are traveling from Mason City and Dubuque, and that you really can't get 40 practices together in the summer. So what we do is we pretty much try to have an hour and a half to 2 hour practice before every tournament, the weekend before every tournament, and then they play in the tournament the next weekend. But it gives these boys chances to play baseball, soccer in their own association, for Little League. We had the president of the Little League Association from Rapid City, South Dakota, with us 2 years ago, and they made the national tournament, mm-hmm. the Little League World Series. The Des Moines Little League president's with us this year. And, we go right into Canada. We have Thunder Bay, Canada, and all these boys that, and Thunder Bay's big into soccer.
What's number five here up north of the border? What's that one?
That's the borderland range out of International Falls. In the nursery, actually goes International Falls,
oh, okay.
Fort Francis, then we go up to Kenora. So
is that Canadian based or is that I Falls based?
It's both. We have international. Most of the players on that team, believe it or not, are from, and I'm a 48-year-old guy who did not know too much about geography. I knew where Fort Francis was, but
sure.
Now I know where Emu Devlin is and Atikokan and Sioux Lookout and Red Lake.
You know a little bit more than I do.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but
we'll say that.
It sure is fun. Like I said, whenever these people sign up for the program, and I must be a geography major by now. I've been to every arena in the state of Minnesota except for maybe five in that, and it's just a ball.
Running short on time here.
Sure.
What is the way, how do you attract players to their tryouts? How do you do this?
Yep, we'd have a tryout next week for the Twin Cities audience especially. It's going to be President's Day, actually, under a week and a half, at Dakota Sports Center in Prior Lake. We have a boys and girls tryout in the morning. If you're interested, go to northlandhockeygroup.com. We also are going to have a team in the metro starting up called the East Metro Blast. So if you live in the East Twin Cities, check the Twin Cities Blast, and then we have a team in the South Metro called the Twin Cities Extreme. Check it out, northlandhockeygroup.com.
Excellent. Wow. Way to bring it out into the bumper. Love it.
Thanks, Pete.
We take a time out. When we
Thank
come
you.
Back, On the Ice continues. Final segment with Bart Archer. We got a couple things to give away here. Looking very forward to that. Tickets to the WCHA Final Five. The Jonas Brodin autographed series edition stick as well. Dave Druck, Northland Hockey Group. Thanks for joining us. That's northlandhockeygroup.com. More coming up on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Woody, how are you? Good to see him in the house, working his way out. Woody Paulson, of course. Hockey dad here in Edina. We got a couple of things to give away, and Bart Archer's going to be on the wire for what I would say is a timeout for trivia. How about this young man here?
I'm ready.
Would you like to win something? This guy's got to answer a couple of questions.
Oh, my word. Pressure's on again.
You ready?
Sure.
Would you guys be interested in four tickets to the WCHA Final Five? Okay, let's do it. Okay. So in my grubby little paws here, four tickets, the WCHA's Final Five. What's your name? Braden. This is Bart Archer.
Hi, Braden.
He's a color commentator. He knows his stuff. He and I have done a lot of high school hockey. And I'm going to ask him, do you want three or two? I'm just going off the top of my head with these trivia questions. So
we'll go two.
You want two questions?
Yeah, we'll start slow.
You're shaking your leg like you're nervous.
I am a little. I'm going in cold, and I want to help the young man.
What year did Jacques Lemaire win his first Stanley Cup as a coach with the New Jersey Devils?
We need your brother out here for that
one. Yeah, 94.
Try again.
92.
1995. Okay, we'll give you three questions
here,
too.
Sorry.
Wow, look at that. I totally challenged
you. I was in the right decade,
so
I'm doing better.
How many state titles does the combined Edina East and Edina High School hockey teams have?
12.
Boom, ding. Okay, there's one. One more question for Bart Archer.
Going for the Baker's Dozen.
We'll go for the Baker's Dozen. Can you tell me what National Hockey League Anders Lee is skating on?
New York Islanders.
And how many goals does he have?
16 or 17.
Good. Good enough for me. You win. Braden, you're going to the WCHA.
All right, Braden.
Bart Archer, look at that. You're going to the WCHA's Final Five. You get tickets for Friday, March 20th. That's the semifinal round. You have bring a couple friends, bring some family members. Get you a pin there. You can take a keychain and have a blast. Those, of course, provided by the Western Collegiate Hockey Association, who we work with a lot here. So we thank you. Thanks for stepping up, young man.
All right, Braden, good for you.
Bart Archer, under the gun.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, I loved it.
Feeling a little more comfortable now.
So we can get on and start talking about hockey again.
There
we
you
still
go.
Have the granddaddy of them all, the giveaway here, though.
Yeah, indeed.
The big stick.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Jonas Brodin edition.
Future Norris Trophy winner.
Let's talk about that. Would you agree? I mean, I've been saying that. I think he's Nicklas Lidström reincarnated to a degree.
Well, I
think Nicholas Lidstrom is an exceptional talent, as we all know, looking at his history. But it took him a while to develop his offensive game, and I think that Brodin's going along that same path. I'd like to have him maybe get a little bit more offensive responsibility, but he's so smooth in his own zone. And for a kid that age, it's really unique to see that kind of poise on the ice.
It is, and he's been very critical to their depth at the blue line, which, you know, we talked a little bit, Chad Graff and I did in the first segment about Clayton Stoner. And you know, people love to rip Martin Skula back in the day. They like to find the big defenseman to rip in this town for some reason.
Sure, they're easy shots.
Craig Johnson on the way out the door. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, and I think straight up, if you can play the body and move the puck and get in the odd tussle, you need that in your 4, 5, 6 defenseman. You just do.
Well,
and that's what a guy like Clayton Stoner added.
Well, and I think they do miss him. I think they miss him a little bit more, but money-wise, they just couldn't make it happen, Pete. But you don't have to be the big bruising defenseman. You just have to separate the player from the puck. And they need a little bit more of that physicality on the back line. Obviously, that's something that's missing. I think that it's a smaller team, but it's a very quick team with skill. If they can get into a skating game, that plays to the Wild's advantage. If it's kind of a mucky, grindy, very physical game, that doesn't do them any favors.
Let's talk about Don Lucia. There's a big article in the Star Tribune about fans are starting to blame him. Your take on that?
Thank you. You're welcome. Well, I just think that Don Lucia, and Pete, I don't want to go too deep into it, but ever since he had his illness, I think he's been a little bit of a different coach. I think having Tony Lucia in the group kind of complicated things a little bit, but it just seems like he's a little bit less invested in the product. He's not showing any emotion. That doesn't mean you're a bad coach. It just seems a little different characteristics as far as that goes. But I think Don Lucia is a good hockey guy. He's a good hockey coach. Obviously, if you look at his history, he's won a couple national titles, but it just seems like something's missing in this year's edition.
You know, and there's underachieving going on with talent-laden hockey clubs. Questions are going to be asked, whether it's the player's fault, the coach's fault, or the general manager's fault. You know, you hear it. It's just that is the nature of sport. If this, if let's say the Golden Gopher football program was at a level they're trying to get to, Glenn Mason was in a bowl game in Texas. They had a big lead, lost it, but he was still getting his team into bowls, producing all Americans, sold and got a TCF Bank Stadium built, gets fired, gassed, because he wasn't winning with the talent he had. Why is Don Lucia, who signed through 2017, in my opinion, getting a free pass?
Well, I don't disagree with that. In fact, I think that he has to be held a little bit more accountable. There is some public outcry, and, you know, that's the right of the fans, but just where this program should be as far as where they are. I mean, they were preseason number one. They were number one for a long time. Now they're struggling to get into the pairwise rankings to compete in the national stage, and that's just not conducive to Minnesota.
Well, all they have to do is win the weak Big Ten conference playoff, win two games, and they're in. I mean, it really comes down to that in a nutshell, and they're going to probably do that, and they'll be in, and, you know, it'll be, you know, they're going to have resurrected the season, and, you know, oh, it's all good. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you have 14 National Hockey League draft picks. They know what they're doing when they draft players. They know talent. They did, too, when they brought him in. Something is not working from locker room to bench to ice.
Well, sometimes when you get that many people that have their rights owned by NHL franchise, might take the edge off them a little bit. But, you know, if you look at the Gophers, they went to the national championship game last year. And this year, everybody's talking about perhaps Lucia getting fired, which, you know, take it for what it is. But I just think this is a very skilled hockey team. I think one thing they have to do, their puck possession is nice. Their zone exit's fine. I think Wilcox is a little bit overworked. But they just aren't going between the dots in front of the offensive net. I just think they have to be more aggressive and attack
saying,
with the puck a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, they swept Wisconsin. They opened with a 4-2 win last night against Ohio State, so they've won a few, and there's some positive momentum going on there. But it's the 4-9-3 record since December. That's still the reality, as those wins are coming against what I'm a believer of. I'm not one of these that says many think, that I believe is a low-end Big Ten conference this year.
Yeah, in fact, you look at the WCHA as opposed to the Big Ten, and the Big Ten has, I mean, Penn State stepped up and beat Wisconsin last night, so, you know, the Big Ten's going through a little bit of a growing an identity situation right now. I'm sure in the next couple of years it's going to get better, but I just think that where Minnesota's poised right now, I just think that they're not playing their best hockey at the time where they should be playing their best hockey, so there's a little point of concern. I'm not saying getting out of that Big Ten tournament's going to be an easy thing for them.
It won't. But I mean, that right now they're finding their way within it. So it absolutely, to me, as you hear about this secret society of the Golden Gopher alumni that are quietly not happy with what's happening. Well, why is it so secret? And who cares? Aren't they allowed to have an opinion? Or do we have to all toe the party line? I don't get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the alumni. Well, who are these people? Well, just the alumni. Well, who are they?
Well, I, in my personal opinion, trying to bleed into this, I think Coach Gensel has earned the keys to the big office. I really do. If they're going to make a change, I hope it's Gensel that gets that opportunity because he bleeds maroon and gold. He knows the history
of
the program.
You're a big fan of his.
Well, he's a very nice guy, but he's about as smart a hockey guy as I've ever been around, and I've spent some time on the golf course with him, and he's very accommodating as far as answering my barrage of different
questions.
Look
at Bart Archer. You're working more of the personal approach here.
Well, I have
a personal friend.
Well, I have a basis in which to draw
Sid
upon,
Hartman.
Which is a little unusual. Yeah, he's a good, close personal friend of mine that couldn't pick me out of a lineup with Jonas Brodin, but no, it's kind of a nice situation to have somebody that can step in, but they're going to let Lucia ride it out. I don't think he's going anywhere as it stands right now, but again, the talk is going to continue if they don't have success going into the playoffs.
The On the Ice radio show for 2 hours here from 9 to 11 right here at Braemar Arena, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. We're getting down to crunch time. We're going to give away the Jonas Brodin limited edition autographed series model stick here today. And Bart Archer is going to answer a question.
Oh,
I've got a little one to tee up. I need someone to step up to the table that would like to win this stick. Oh, right there. There's my first guy. Come on over here, buddy. You want to get on the air? Want to do some radio time? Okay, we'll put those headsets on you.
He's only eight.
Turn it the other way.
Okay.
Look at that. It's like, you know what, with these guys, it's like they're playing a video game.
Right.
You know, it's like they're, what do you play? What's that video game you play? You're talking to your buddies, whatever these things are now.
Halo, Xbox.
Halo, Call of Duty.
Yeah, Xbox, whatever. What's your name, young man?
Sam.
Sam, and how old are you?
I am 8.
Okay, are you participating in the tournament or just watching?
I am watching with my goalie, who is right there.
Okay, do you have brothers, friends?
He has a goalie brother who is playing.
Awesome. Keeping it in the family, I like that. I'm going to ask Bart Archer here a question. And he has to get it right. It's a two-parter. And then if he gets it right, look at that, he's fanning himself up. You're going to see the stick
the
right
pressure.
There? See the blade of this stick? See that? That's Jonas Brodin. You know who he is?
Yeah.
Minnesota Wild, 2-5, right? That's his autograph. This will be yours. Okay?
Okay.
If I hold up my end of the bargain.
To the Minnesota Wild, by the way. Okay, Bart Archer.
Hopefully it's a softball, Pete.
In 1987, Dino Cicerelli and who were traded to the Washington Capitals?
Donnie Beaupre?
Bob Rouse.
Bob Rouse.
Okay.
Bam Bam Rouse,
okay.
Number 3.
I'm part of this. Okay. And then who did the Minnesota North Stars get in return?
Mike Gardner.
And? We're in the Met Center. We were sitting by Doug Jarvis's wife, and you had proclaimed how great it was to have a puck-moving defenseman.
Larry
finally.
Murphy.
Boom! There it is.
Okay.
Look at that. You won yourself a stick, my friend.
Thank you.
You
all
bet.
Right,
where are you going to put this thing?
I am probably going to put it in my room so my baby brother and my sister don't get it.
Okay, good. So you keep that firmly away from them. There you go. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good job. Good work. Way to make it happen. Well, that's going to do it for 2 hours of absolute fun. You can take those off. Bart Archer, thanks for joining us
Happy
here today.
To be here,
Chad
Pete.
Graff, top of the hour. Dave Druck was here. Bruce Carlson was in the house. We heard from Bill Robertson, the WCHA commissioner. And once again, another show in the books. Don't forget to join us next week. We'll be on the air, Bart Archer and I, high school hockey, as we close out the regular season on Thursday night.
Edina, Minnetonka?
Edina, Minnetonka.
Should be a good one.
Look out. It's from here at Braemar Arena, right?
Can't wait.
Well, we're not going to be in the freezing elements at Pagel Activity Center.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank our production crew as well for getting the job done. Again, David Helmer back at the studio. Mike Compton getting the job done here at Braemar Arena. For Bart Archer, I'm Pete Wagner. So long, everybody.